Hey, this is Fish and Frank and Radio Fishing. And we have an all-star lineup, a cast. This is a show. You don't want to miss it. You got to stay here for this. Fish and Frank in the chair. Robert in the chair across from me. And Captain Tom Fisher and Captain Matt Haig on the line. We got people, we got captains. I mean, this is it. This is Radio Fishing. All right. Okay. Morning, Robert.
Morning.
Tom, you there?
Yes, sir.
Matt Haig. Is Captain Matt there?
How you doing, Frank?
Okay. It's going to be a little iffy. We haven't tried this before, but we're going to start off. We're kind of doing a fishing report here. You guys can't hang around for the whole thing, so... have you heard about, we had a lot of cold weather moving in. What's the effects, cause and effects?
Well, all I like to say is, Frank, I'm from Florida, and these fish are from Florida. We're both cold.
I get it. I got to tell you, I've been enjoying, usually I go outside, sit outside, have my caffeine and nicotine, and, you know, watch TV through the glass, and now... This morning, it's been fireplace heaven for the last few days.
Yes, sir.
I sat in front of the fireplace, nice fire, and enjoying my caffeine and nicotine. Robert, questions for the panel here.
You guys catching anything down there in the Caloosahatchee at all yet with this water temperature dropping?
We had this talk a couple weeks ago. This is our good first cold front. So I would say if we get a little mini front behind this one, then it'll start doing very well, and everything will start to move upriver. I've had my little boat down since vacation when I went over to Belize and Honduras. I just got it put back together today, so I start back on the water tomorrow. But a couple of guys I know that's fishing, they have been catching fish, but it hasn't been, let's say, awesome yet. Hard work for a few upriver. But they've been trying around the 75 bridge, you know, Orange River, working back towards the 41 bridges, waiting for that bite to turn on.
Okay, so where do you classify upriver from 41, I-75? Where's up and where's down?
When I say upriver, to me, means I'm fishing the warm water coming out of the power plant down to the railroad trestle.
Gotcha. All right. And, yeah, I'm just...
Are you finding anything down by the mouths, closer to the beaches and stuff?
Most of the guys I talked to when I got back from vacation, they were all whining. Lots of trout, a few rat reds. There was a good redfish tailing bite, you know, during the tides. But snook is pretty much shut down.
Yeah, and the trout are still going deep and got to work it real slow.
Oyster shelves in the mouth of the river... in that 3 to 4 foot of water, more so than that 2 to 3 foot of water when this water gets cold. And work it slow on the bottom.
You putting them on a jig head or you putting them on a split shot?
I'm a jig head guy because my ADD doesn't let me just let it sit still. So I like bouncing it off the bottom and moving it. So I like Texas rigging it backwards on a jig head.
Oh, there you go. What size jig head do you usually use in that little bit deeper water?
You know... I like going light, so I'll use quarter ounce, and if the tide's not real strong, I'll even drop to an eighth ounce.
Okay.
All right. That's which one of you guys was the last one on the water here?
Fish. That would be me.
Okay, Fish. What area were you in? North, south, the Bow Bay, Turtle Bay, or down on Pine Island Sound?
I had a double last time, so actually I went south and north. The fish are same thing. They're starting to crawl back up rivers, and, you know, you're getting your redfish bite more of the Myakka, Hog Island area like that, and then above the 75 right there going up the Peace River.
Was that you on the river the other day? I saw a tower boat out there.
Well, I didn't get up the river, but I went out to the mouth of it. I fished that area over there.
Gotcha. Because I live in Harbor Heights. I was looking out in the river, saw a tower boat went by, and I went, I wonder if that's fish. I couldn't make it out too clear.
Yep. Well, you guys got around, move around, and bounce. And then down south, you know, the tail and redfish on these lower waters like this, with these fronts, the water just gets out. And there were some good tailers. They were scattered. They weren't massive clumps of them. But, you know, you could see the tails. They're real spooky, shallow water. They're cold. And, you know, you got to take a lot of time to get to them right now.
So are you doing a trolling motor coming up on them or push-pulling? What's
going on? You're going to have to push up on them. The trolling motor runs them just as hard as the big motor does, it seems like. So I was doing a lot of getting with the wind. We've had a little bit of wind lately, too. So that's kind of helped out. You get above them on the wind and pull down to them. And the same thing, I'm using, I'm on the bottom, and I'm using shrimp and a jig head, and you're hitting your sand holes. And you're just kind of taking your time. You know, it's a lot of work for a few bites. Right now, they haven't really dove and got into the hard moving currents in between the islands and back in there yet. And I believe another week or so, it's going to get easier.
All right. Robert, your thoughts?
So basically what you're saying right now is the way the fishing kind of is just you're going to fish a little bit, expect to catch maybe one fish here, one fish there, but not be posting up for long periods of time. You're just kind of having a hunt for them pretty regularly.
Yeah, well, I think we're finally on that transition to winter. So these fish are on the outside edges working their way into the creek. Then the water temperature hasn't dropped enough for those fish to hang in the deep troughs in the creek, and that, you know, them 4-foot corners and holes. So right now you're working across the flat, you know, and you're looking to catch a few fish an hour and not, like you said, not post up on the point of an island and catch a bunch.
All right. That makes pretty good sense.
Anybody heard about anything going on outside of the harbor?
Yeah, offshore-wise, the near shore, Bo and Jeremy and those boys have been catching tuna and lots of kings on them bait balls in that 30-foot of water.
But they're fishing south down there towards Sanibel and stuff like that more than anything?
Straight off of Captiva Pass.
Right off of Captiva? Oh, yep. Between Captiva and Boca.
Yeah, straight out on that hard bottom where they get used. It's normally where they go catch their bait on that hard bottom.
Yeah.
And they've been catching those balls of tuna, mackerel, everything's been blasting through those schools of bait balls.
Okay. Out there basically like that 7-mile ledge area.
Yes, sir. Also, you're starting to notice coming into the harbor in the ICW and starting to get into the actual Charlotte Harbor a little bit of the Cobia. They're starting to run in a little bit.
Yeah, I've been hearing some mixed reports off and on of them, too, out there.
You know, one thing I made a prediction with one of the magazines I do fishing reports for. I do a lot of them, so I don't remember which one it was. But I said February could be this February might be the one where we have cobia, tarpon, maybe even some sharks show up for the snowbirds instead of having to wait till tourist season comes.
Absolutely. I agree with that, too.
Yeah, I don't know. All we need is it's chilled down enough now. If we get, you know, 2 weeks of warmer weather, I think they're all going to show up. I think it's going to be a crazy February.
Well, we got to, in my view, we only lost our whitebait 2 weeks ago. And, you know, it should have been gone 2 months ago. So it's starting to get just offshore out there now. And it's starting to leave the harbor pretty good now. So. You know, the harbor's just now in that transition, switching over to crustaceans, where, you know, and we only have them maybe a month or so, depending on this weather, before the bait comes right back in. So, you know, you're going to get we've kind of been winter fishing and spring fishing at the same time up until now, and I think it's going to come back to that with this warmer weather that's going to be coming.
Yeah, you know, you're going to get... I don't think any of us know if it's going to get warm or cold. My prediction was that, just judging by the way the fronts have hitting, we've been getting fronts, but nothing's... We've had actually a couple of severe fronts.
Right, but nothing that stayed.
You know, if it does warm up, I think February might be an awesome month. But how is your February looking for the trout around the harbor? Are you guys seeing from the Caloosahatchee up to the Myakka? Are we seeing an increase in trout, or is it still kind of mediocre?
Mediocre.
Yeah, I'd say the mediocre.
Yeah, this is probably one of the worst years I've seen for trout fishing in general, and I don't know if it's the red tide. I don't know if it's the weird, funky weather pattern. I don't know. What is your guys' theory on that?
I got lots of theories. I keep most of them to myself.
Yeah. My theory, I don't want to publicize.
The Russians. I'm pretty sure the Russians hacked the trout fishing.
There you go. I'm still blaming Obama.
Anyway, all right, let's move to Pompano. Any Pompano in the area?
Scattered. Nothing that I fish for on a regular basis or anything, but while you're catching your trout and your mackerel and you know, you're just hoping, we've caught some Pompano.
All right, that takes me to Spanish mackerel. Anybody hearing Spanish mackerel?
No, I haven't heard anything about a mackerel. I haven't caught a mackerel or seen one yet.
All right. Next up, snook fishing. It's all catch and release, but we still have a lot of fun, and they're good catch and release fish. Wet hands, wet rags, wet gloves.
Yep.
How's the snook fishing?
It'll start getting good now for me upriver. Our power plant, you know, will actually have to work now, and it'll produce just a little bit of water chains. So all those big spawning fish will move down from the locks, and those fish up in the river will move up there, and you can start catching some big trophies.
Gotcha. Fish, any idea? The harbor snook?
Well, I like to go back to what you said, wet, wet, wet. I want to stress, please, people, leave them in the water. Leave them in the water this time of year. Nothing worse than putting them in a net and then pull them out on top of the boat.
If you're going to take a picture, handle them with wet hands. Don't remove the slime. Don't give them any reason to not survive the experience.
Pull them up to the side of the boat, lip them, take your hook out, you know, pick them up, get your picture, put them right back in the water.
Yep.
Stay away from the landing nets as much. I mean, it's just really critical this time of year.
Now,
you put them on the landing net, you put them on the boat, wrestle them, then you get them for a picture, you put them back. It's so much stress for them this time of year. They're lethargic, they're cold.
I like to say to people, if your guy has a landing net, God bless him, he's not a good guy.
Now, he may be able to catch fish, but he's not trying to conserve the fish.
No,
so,
not at all.
What are the chances of getting into this situation where we have to handle the snook?
Good. Oh yeah.
I didn't mean to throw you guys. It's a question. How is the snook fishing?
Snook fishing's very good this year. It's been very good. You know, we keep quiet about a lot of things, but this year I've seen the increase of snook fishing again year after year since our freeze. I'm seeing a lot of big fish. Just because I see a lot of big fish, I don't always target those big girls with charters, you know? But if I had to go catch a trophy today, I wouldn't think it'd be a problem.
Okay. Now, the one cool thing about it is I know when I was guiding, sometimes I would try and, different times a year, I try and avoid certain fish, even if I know they're there, just because these fish, we have to keep these fish forever. These are, you know, and I'm one, I don't like the slot limit. I want to see the thing go up where you can't keep anything under 40 inches. I'm adamant about that. I don't like the idea of taking the young and healthy. Let's take the old and sickly. I always say, if I died right now, okay, it's a shame. But, hey, good life, did everything I was supposed to. If my kid died, that would be a real catastrophe.
Yeah.
And that's the way I think about snook fishing. I think we should only take the big ones. And I can tell you, the only people who think little snook tastes better than big snook are the people who've only eaten little snook. I grew up in a different era. We could keep the big ones. It was legal.
Yep.
So, anyway, snook have a 20-25 year lifespan. Could be a little bit more than that, but average is around there. So, let's take the old and the weak, not the young and the healthy. Robert, questions about fishing?
Have you guys noticed the size of the bluefish this year being bigger than normal years and a little bit more abundant?
Yes. Only because you're trout fishing and all of a sudden you think you got a whale.
Yeah.
You know?
Or you get cut clean, right?
Or you get about 10 feet of drag and then it's gone.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been noticing a lot of customers talking about all the scattered bluefish, especially down there along the ICW.
Yes.
You know, they're not in the big schools like they're used to up north, but...
Right.
You know, they're in those 1 to 6, you know, fish range, and then they're in that, you know, 1 to 4 pound range, which is, yeah, 4 pounders. I've been hearing more of those than anything else, and it's been kind of impressive. You guys experiencing the same stuff?
Scattered, you know, because we're not fishing. We don't trout fish a tremendous. We don't target it. No, it's like a, oh God, we got to go catch something. But when we are trout fishing, that's when we're seeing them. We're on them open flats.
Okay, triple tail. What's going on?
It was real good last month. I haven't been playing with him. I haven't been looking. So I really can't tell you.
Same thing here.
All right. Now, we talked about cobia. You said the cobia fishing and the ICW is real good.
They're starting to peek in.
Yeah. They're starting to move around.
And seeing as we're both running towers, so running from A to B, you're seeing one here and there. I haven't started targeting them yet, but you're starting to catch them, you know, going to get bait, coming back, you know, running along and seeing them in the middle of the harbor.
So they're out more in the middle of the harbor and middle of the intercoastal than they are on the flats right now still?
Yep.
Water.
Yep.
All right. The giant purple elephant in the room, sheephead. What's the story?
They're here, and they're big. When you find them.
Sheephead? They're hard to find?
No. When you find them, when you go, well, again, I'm not targeting sheephead. You know, I'm sitting for catching them on accident with rat reds and things like that when you dive into the holes, but the ones I am catching are big.
So you're finding them back on the flats quite a bit this year, scattered pockets of them against the mangroves out in the potholes?
Yep.
Now, you're basically fishing for redfish and getting the sheephead as the bycatch.
Correct, yes, sir. Even in the sand holes on the flat.
Now, is this normal? Like, is this something you've experienced for years? Or is this becoming more normal? Or is it still relatively odd?
No, it's a cycle. I can say, years ago, I remember catching tailing sheephead. You know, looking for tailing redfish. You know, you see the gray tail instead of the red tail. It's just a cycle, and I think we're just seeing a peak of size fish inside right now. Like this year's past redfishing, I thought was one of our worst. You know, and so we're in a cycle now, and I just think it's a cycle. I don't think it's any reason.
Well, it could be that as a few years ago we had the bad red tide, knocked down our redfish hatch, and we live through that now. Just like this year, in 2 or 3 years, we're going to see a decline of the redfish again because we lost a lot of the spawning fish. And it's the ones that hatch out and get caught in the red tide that's a real problem. Now, is there any other fish you guys are seeing that we didn't talk about?
No, sir. Not much.
How about your mangrove snapper bite? Are you catching some of the better sized ones with your bycatch out there while you're looking for your reds? Because I've been hearing hopscotch reports of that.
Yeah, I'm not catching snapper at all.
Okay.
All right, here's one for you. Reports people are going up and down the canals. They're seeing these schools of nice sized fish, thinking maybe snapper, maybe sheephead. They're not sure what it is, and it turns out it's big pinfish. Are you seeing a surge in 1 pound pinfish?
I don't get in the canal, so
I've seen a lot of schools of sand bream with pinfish mixed in with them.
So the pinfish are schooling up with the sand bream, huh?
Yeah. There's two creekside fish that when you look down yourself, there's a sand bream, and then I've seen a mixture of pinfish and sand bream.
I'll be darned. Now, do either of you guys take your customers out just every once in a blue moon and just nail a few of the sand bream just for the best meal in town?
No.
I used to keep some crappie jigs on the boat for that. Yep. Put a little shrimp tail on it, toss some crappie jigs out there.
Well, they taste good, that's for sure, but nobody does it anymore.
No, I think it's a forgotten fish.
Yep.
So
them commercial boys haven't forgot about it.
No, they're just to the public. The commercial boys rely on sand bream, Jack Crevel as kind of the way to get through the year.
I'll tell you what, I wish they'd leave them Crevels alone. Our get through the day guide fish has really been beaten to hell.
I think I'm going to start one of those petition things to make it illegal to commercially net jacks inside of the co-regs.
Oh, gosh. I'll tell you what. I can remember 10 years ago where if you were having a slow charter because the flat bite was off, you could run up to the Mount Lachey Bridge, pull on some 10-pound jacks, make your clients tickle the deck, and then go back to fishing when that tide started moving.
Well,
go look for a jack now like that.
Yeah, the problem is jacks have become such a high-priced food fish.
Yeah.
And their only place in the world that doesn't eat jack crevalle is Florida. So, you know, people don't realize that's why they're limited numbers. But, you know, you guys are big involved in projects and stuff like that. Why don't we all start getting together to see if we can't eliminate the commercial harvest of jack crevalle inside of the co-regs?
Yeah, no doubt. No comment.
Basically, what that equates to is that our jackfish are what barracuda is the equivalent of down in the Keys. Slow moments going on, guys would go target the cudas. It's the only time they really liked them is during those slow times.
Now,
and
Tom, you know I'm a commercial fisherman as well. I know you are. You know I am. You know I rely heavily on commercial fishing. But there has to be a point between dollars and cents. And the dollar value of the jacks on the charter industry, the recreational fishing industry, the overall tourist industry is much higher than the dollar value of it as an inside food fish.
No comment.
Chicken.
I know. You could say, screw you, Frank. I get that. You could say, you're all wrong. You're out of your mind. I'm prepared for that fish. Go right ahead.
Well, listen, here's another thing. Like you just stated, commercial fishermen, they count on the jack crevalle and the sand bream to get them through the year. They're talking about their family.
I'm stepping away.
You're talking about their livelihood and how they're feeding their kids and keeping their house and whatnot. That's what gets them through the year. So if we eliminated that, they can't make it from mullet to mullet season.
Not eliminate, reduce.
Here is the reason I ask, because I know Tom is got great insight as to what it takes to feed a family as a commercial fisherman and stuff like that. And that side needs to be heard, too. I'm not some goofy, frickin' fascist, crazy person like you see them spouting on TV. We need to talk both sides and have it out in the open in a calm, reasonable manner.
With that comment I made, I challenged the comment you made saying the value dollar for the industry, for recreational and for charter captains and whatnot, versus the fish value dollar-wise for the commercial fishermen. That's what survives them. That's what gets them through. So the value, if you look at that value, how are you feeding your family, keeping your house and not losing it, versus me making money on my boat with it for my charter people. It may not be exactly the dollar. The dollar may be greater with them than it is with us, due to that's the only way they can survive.
Gotcha.
So you got, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. It may be more money for the industry on our end, but the dollar could be have a $10 value compared, you know, versus. I don't know.
What you're saying is that for us, overall, it would create a much larger revenue, but that dollar isn't as important to us as it is to the commercial fishermen.
Exactly.
And I get that. And that's why we ask these questions. That's why we deal with it in this manner, as adults, as real people. There should never be hate involved in a discussion. It should be a discussion to figure out what the facts are and see how we can do this responsibly and not just emotionally.
Work it out, you know?
Yeah, emotion is the wrong thing to do. Facts and figures and compromise. I love compromise. I love meeting right in the middle, because I never find the correct answer is all the way that to the right or all the way to the left. It's always in the middle. Always.
Exactly.
So, anyway, what else? I mean, I know I'm keeping you guys. You got to work on the boat. Robert, any other thoughts for our guest, Captain Tom Fisher and Captain the other guy?
Matt Hegg.
The other guy.
A little bit of a moment there, huh?
Duh. You know, I wonder what they put in this e-cigarette thing. That could be... I don't really use these, but I'm trying to be compliant.
Okay. How's that working out?
Not so good.
No, I really don't have much else for you guys, unfortunately. We kind of covered a lot of the bases with a lot of different stuff.
All right.
We covered a lot of stuff. The thing is to watch your tides. This is what I would like to say. Watch your tides. Know your boat. Try not to get on the grass beds this time of year, if not at all possible. You know, pick that engine up. Do more pulling and more floating. If you can't pull and float it, don't go. You know, stay on the by the reef or stay in a canal. Or
why not just go in and push it?
Exactly. Get with the wind. We have wind this time of year, you know. Pick your motor up, push your boat.
You can literally just get out of the boat and walk it where you want to go, which is the best method ever.
Absolutely.
I mean, take a look at Ralph Jones.
You see running the inside and running over someplace and fishing, and then they pick it up and they run 100, 200 yards down and stop again. You know, they see fish and they stop, and then they idle, try to get close as they can to them. I mean, it's, you know, let's preserve our grass beds. I mean, we're just eating them up. We got super low. Our high tide now is a spring and summer low tide. So just try to be aware of that.
Yeah.
And
all right, now, Tom.
Hold on. Perfect. With that, also understand that boat you see, it's only 100 yards away. Yeah, you're far enough away from them, but not this time of year. Try to give everybody else more space this time of year, because that's what they're doing. They're sneaking up on fish. They're floating and pulling across someplace. So for you to go by, you know, it spooks the fish. And if everybody just give everybody a little more cushion and understand what they're doing, what your other fishermen are doing, you'll have a lot less tension on the water, I think.
And don't change the tempo of your motor. Don't slow down or speed up. As you see somebody fishing, go as far away as you possibly can safely, and don't change the tempo of the engine. Let the motor just ride continuous so it comes and goes.
There you go.
Because if you slow down to be cautious or whatever, what you're going to do is scare his fish off. You need to make sure the boat stays constant and go around. Now, Tom, need your phone number, website, whatever. Spout off. Tell people who you are, how to get a hold of you.
I'm Tom Fisher, Captain Tom Fisher. Everybody calls me Fish. My website is fishbonecharters.com. And you can get a hold of me 24 hours. This cell phone is an umbilical cord. It never got cut. So it's 941-628-4687.
941-628-4687. Okay.
Yep, and you can call me anytime. I take calls up to like 12 o'clock at night. So after you call me at 9 o'clock, it's not too late. Go ahead and give me a call.
I'm just sitting here thinking about that, talking to fish at 12 o'clock at night. Buddy, I love you to death, but I mean, I'm gonna put a cap on that at about 9 o'clock after that. Call it your own risk.
I get calls at all hours. Hey, you got to remember, some of these guys live in different time zones. And they think it's okay to call you when they're still awake.
Gotcha. All right, Matt Hagg, tell us how to get a hold of you.
You can get a hold of me at 239-633-7133.
239, what was it?
633-7133. 7133,
okay.
Or you can find me at mattoutdoors.com, M-A-T-outdoors.com.
All right. Anything you guys want to wrap up with?
I want it to get warm. Yeah, that'd be nice.
Wednesday.
I'm from Southwest Florida, and I'm cold.
All right.
Thank you, guys.
This is Fish and Frank in the chair. Robert across from me, Captain Matt Hagg, and the one and only Fish, Captain Tom Fisher. Thank you guys so much for joining us on this Radio Fishing Monday edition. And we'll be back with you with more Radio Fishing in a little while.